mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I hear that hockey's in some trouble. The first 2 weeks of official play have been canceled. We've all heard the news that hockey's in trouble. We might not all care, but we all know. And I know some of you do care very much. On Thanksgiving weekend, when it comes to sports anyway, the focus is usually not on hockey, but rather on football. Now, although last time I checked, football is not in the same kind of trouble as hockey, no lockouts, no grumpy billionaires, no heartbroken fans. The football world did make the news recently, although for a very different reason. Maybe you've heard this story. A former member of the Toronto Argonauts, the great Jim Stillwagon, was arrested and put in jail after he allegedly, it's not been proven in court, allegedly shot at a man in the heat of road rage. The charge is that Stillwagon, while riding on his motorcycle, shot at another man driving a pickup truck. Now, thankfully, the shot missed. But then he chased the pickup truck for 22 kilometers. And when they finally stopped to confront one another in a parking lot, he hit the pickup driver with his gun, and the gun went off, grazing the pickup driver's head and sending him to hospital. Again, thankfully, the wound was minor. But Stillwagon went to jail with bond set at $350,000. Now, I don't know Jim Stillwagon, and although I'm using his story as an illustration today, I can't personally judge the man. And apart from what my husband tells me, I don't know football either. But I do know something about road rage. Not that I ever have it myself, of course. Well, maybe a mild case, maybe sometimes, usually when someone's tailgating me on the 401 and my little children are in the back seat. But you know, road rage happens, I know, because life happens. Whether in cars or out of them, people are people, and we will always find ways to irritate each other. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, but we are by nature impatient, and the combination of impatience, irritation, and 2 tons of steel can be a deadly one. Well, why am I talking about road rage in this message that's supposed to be about Thanksgiving? Well, stay with me. Jim Stillwagon was licensed to carry the gun he was carrying. That means he was driving down that highway with a legally armed weapon. Well, two, I suppose, if you count his motorcycle, too. If he hadn't been armed, he wouldn't have shot. But he used it because he had it at the ready, and when the impatience or anger or irritation or whatever it was the pickup driver did to tick him off happened, he reacted by using what was easiest to use, his gun. Now stay with me a little longer, because this is not a sermon about gun control. It wasn't in our reading today, but one of my favorite teachings of Jesus, which he said in Matthew chapter 12, is this. Jesus said, "Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." We can all understand what this means. What we say and do is a reflection of what's going on inside. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If our hearts are full of love, we will speak loving words. If our hearts are full of bitterness, we will speak bitter words. And if our hearts are full of impatience and anger, and if you have a gun at your side, well, someone might get shot. Thanksgiving obviously is a time to say thank you. But let's think about why it is we give thanks. Is it just duty? Well, nothing wrong with duty, but hopefully there's more. Is it just guilt? Do we thank God because we're secretly worried that God will get us if we don't grovel in gratitude every once in a while? No, in the end, and this may sound strange, we give thanks for our own sakes. It is right to thank God, But ultimately, we don't give thanks because God needs us to, but rather because it changes us. When it becomes a holy habit, giving thanks makes us thankful people. The very act of reflecting on God's many blessings and remembering that they do come from God fills up our hearts with gratitude. And when our hearts are filled with gratitude and grace and generosity, then those hearts will overflow with the same. And then, when life happens, when people are people and irritate us, or life is life and throws us a terrible curveball, we will be better equipped to deal with it. Instead of reaching for the weapon of rage, we will reach for forgiveness. Instead of reaching for the weapon of sarcasm, we will respond with words of sincerity. And instead of going down that all too easy road of complaining, we will praise and give thanks to God. Now, to those of you who are facing a serious struggle this Thanksgiving weekend, whether that's a loved one in hospital, a family conflict, or a haunting grief, let me say this. Being thankful is not the same as being in denial. God knows that sometimes it's hard to feel thankful. And yes, sometimes there are those people who always smile and never seem to have any problems that can grate on our nerves. There was once a Scottish pastor who prayed a prayer of thanksgiving, a rather long one, every single Sunday before he began his sermon. And he was always so positive, his congregation started to wonder what it might take to get him down. In fact, they made a little game out of it, teasing him, but still always looking forward to that prayer. Now, one Sunday morning, it was freezing outside, and the church's heating system failed. And as the congregation sat there all bundled up, and it was so cold they could see their breath, and the pastor got up to preach, one woman said to her friend, "Certainly the preacher won't be able to think of anything to thank God for on a wretched day like this." But then the pastor began his prayer. "We thank thee, O God, that it is not always like this." I do not ask you to be thankful for terrible things, though God can and does work those things out for our good. Sometimes we just need to cry. Sometimes we just need someone to listen and say, "Yeah, that's really hard." But I believe that like that pastor, that annoyingly cheerful but sincere pastor, we too can still make room for gratitude, even in the hard times. And we won't be sorry when we do. So how can we make that room? How can we become grateful people? Well, like everything else in the Christian life, we start by telling God that the Holy Spirit can have his way with us. But consider also what Jesus says in our gospel reading today. Jesus says, "Do not worry." That's one of the ways we can make room for gratitude, by chasing out the things that work against gratitude, one of which, for sure, is worrying and fretting. It's hard to be thankful and anxious at the same time, isn't it? Jesus reminds us today that God knows our needs. Now, most of us in beautiful Canada and beautiful Bracebridge probably don't worry very much about food and clothing and drink. If anything, our problem is we have too much. But we all worry about something. And whatever you're worried about, Jesus teaches that doing so won't change anything. Won't add a single hour to your span of life, won't change anything at all. Someone once said that worry is like a rocking chair. You go back and forth, but you never get anywhere. One of the themes of Jesus' preaching, a theme found in our gospel reading today and in other places in the Bible as well, is that it is good for us to live as best we can in the moment. And as we think about it, isn't worry mostly about the future? Gratitude, though, is mostly about the present. The Lord's Prayer says, "Give us this day our daily bread," because God wants us to trust him for what we need with every new day. And just one verse after our reading from Matthew's gospel stopped, Jesus went on to say this. He said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Ain't that the truth? As we learn to live in that godly moment, as we learn to thank God for the gifts and blessings of today, worry and fear and anxiety will begin to lose their grip on our hearts. And so the scriptures we heard today encourage us, do not fear, do not worry. Know that God is the Lord. Seek God and God's ways first, and everything else will fall into place. Do not worry, and you will grow a grateful heart. Grow a grateful heart, and it will overflow. May it be so among us, to the glory of God. Amen.